السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I'm continuing now with the biography of Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه. So this Yazdegird, he was driven back empty-handed. He didn't manage to take revenge on the Muslims. So now he beseeched the king of China for help as a Chinese. So the king of China asked Yazdegird's courier, the one who brought the message now to the king that he wants help. He said describe this invading nation. Describe them to me. They have conquered the Persians. The Persians were the superpower and they conquered the Persians. Describe them to me. So the courier described in detail. He described the Muslim. He said they ride horses and camels. How their conduct is, how they read Salah, he's describing all of this. So the Chinese monarch wrote back to Yazdegird, his Persian counterpart now. I should help you, and I can send you an army so big that the first man will be in Merv, meaning now in the Chinese, in the Persian territory, and the last man will still be in the furthest corner of China. In other words, such a huge army I can send to you. However, these people whom your courier has described, if they were to attack a mountain, they will knock it down. And if I were to come to your help, they will remove me from my throne too. So my advice is that you make peace with them. Don't try to fight them. Make peace with them. See what ro'ab, what awe the Muslims, Allah Pak had given them in the heart of the kuffar. That the Chinese know such a huge army they got. And today what they are doing with the Muslims. The same Chinese today, are they frightened for Muslims? So this is our own fault. We left the rope of Allah. So we lost the nusrat of Allah. So Yazdegird and his family, they continued living a very, disgraceful life. They lived in some distant lands until finally they were murdered during the reign of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. So he never made a comeback. The Persians, they never made a comeback. Nobody was prepared to help him after that, and he had to just now live in the wilderness until in the Khilafat of Uthman radiallahu anhu, he was murdered by some people. So Al-Ahnaf wrote to Umar radiallahu anhu, explaining to him the victory against the Turks and also the Mali Ghanimat that Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with. Allah Ta'ala bestowed upon the Muslims that they managed to kill a huge number of Turks before they fled the battlefield. Umar radiallahu anhu stood on the mimbar in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he read this letter out publicly. Glad tidings for the Muslims. Then he said, Allah Ta'ala sent Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam with guidance and promised his followers, that whoever follows Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala will give them rewards in this world also and in the akhirat also. Not only in this world also and in the akhirat. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran Sharif, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Huwa alladhi أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. That it is Allah, it is He who has sent His messenger, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with guidance and the religion of truth to make it superior over all religions, even though the idolaters dislike it, they hate it, but it will happen. So when the Muslims really followed Islam, you see, must remember something. we are all the servants and the creation of Allah. Whether he's a non-Muslim, whether he's a Muslim, Allah created everybody. So, in that respect, we are all equal. Whether you're Chinese, Japanese, American, Australian, Saudi Arabian, whatever. Everybody is the same. We all got two eyes, we got one mouth, we got one nose, we got one heart, lung, we got liver, we got lungs, we got... Everybody is the same. Right? Yes, the color may be different, the shape may be different. Somebody is tall, somebody is short, somebody is dark, somebody is light, somebody is coffee color, somebody is yellow color, somebody's eyes is going sideways, somebody got big eyes, somebody got... Every nation, they look a little bit different. Right? That is so that you can recognize one another. You can recognize, no, okay, this person is a Chinese. This person look like a South African. This person look like American. Right? So you can make out different people. However, in reality, everybody is the same. If you have to skin a person, not you can't skin nobody, I'm just saying, if you remove the skin, and now you put all the bodies next to one another, at most, one is going to be tall, one is going to be short. But the body is the same, the skeleton is the same, the structure is the same. Right? So, Allah Ta'ala got no like favoritism to a body. That's why Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran Sharif, the most noble amongst you are those who have got the most taqwa. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith, "Inna Allah la yanduru ila suwarikum wala ila ajsamikum." Allah Pak doesn't look at your form, your body, who's handsome, who's white, who's black. Allah Pak don't look at all that. Walaki yanduru ila qulubikum wa a'malikum. But Allah Ta'ala looks to your heart. What taqwa there is there, what iman there is there. And Allah Pak looks at your actions. You'll be rewarded or punished on your actions. Right? So it's not that we just say, no, we are Muslims. But there's no Islam in us. We're not upholding the Sharia. We are not the flag bearers of Allah's deen. So why must we get victory? Why must we get victory? See now, sometimes people get upset I talk like this. But it's for us to think. We're not pointing fingers at anybody. It's for us to think. Right? You take Gaza, right? They were ruling their own place. The Jews were not ruling Gaza. They were ruling their own place. Right? Yes, the Jews were oppressing them. The Jews will decide how much water can go in, how much water can't go in, what supplies can go in, what supplies can't go in. All that the Jews were controlling. Because they control all the borders, they control the sea, everything around Gaza. But in Gaza itself, who was ruling? The Muslims were ruling themselves. But did they establish Sharia? They never established Sharia. So what's the use of the Muslim having the land if he doesn't establish Sharia? When Muslims took over a land, the first thing they did, establish Sharia. Establishing Sharia is not a pretty masjid. You can have a masjid made of mud, but in your rule, you are establishing Sharia. When you establish Sharia, now you got Allah's help. Because you are establishing Allah's deen. That's what makes us different from the others. Then Allah Ta'ala will give us victory. And we will triumph over all other false religions. Because we are on the truth. But when we ourselves, we're not on the truth. Then what's the use us being triumphant? We same like the others. You take now, this latest now, what is his name? Jolani. Muhammad Jolani or something from Syria, right? So he was the Amir of the Mujahideen there in Syria. And after many, many years, now Allah Ta'ala gave them victory. Right? So now, Allah Ta'ala give them tawfiq to establish Sharia. Right. But somebody told me that recently they had an interview with him. Right. So he's sitting there in the interview wearing a tie, wearing a suit. Right. So now, which direction are we going now? Are we going Western culture? Are we going Islamic culture? What are we doing now? What are we standing for? You know? Now you take Saddam Hussein. Right? In the end, when he was now going to be executed, not all his court cases, then he's making Allah this. And Allah Ta'ala must forgive him. If he died on Iman, Allah forgive him, Allah give him Jannah. But the point is, you ruled for so many years over Iraq. Did you establish Sharia? You never established Sharia. So what's the use you ruling Iraq? Right? You take the Emirates. Are they establishing Sharia or they establishing modernism and westernism and shirk they are establishing in their country? So tomorrow, if Emirates have to get bombed up to smithereens and the people are suffering and all that, who do you blame? You take the wealthy people of South Africa, they too running there. Right? They too running there. What are they running there for? Are they running there for deen? Most of them that are running there, their children are being deprived of deen. Because they don't have the madrasas and all that that we have over here. If they stayed here, they can practice on deen more than what they can do in that country. But they're running there for money. Right? So now when you're running there for money, and now if every, we're not saying it must happen. What I'm saying is if it has to happen, then now we say, no, but where's Allah's help? Why Allah's help is not coming to the Muslim? Allah's help will come to the Muslim when the Muslim stands for Islam. When the Muslim stands for Iman. Then small groups like this topple superpowers. Topple superpowers. But as mu'mineen, we are not establishing Sharia. Right? Now we will think that no. If I was Joinani, I would have established Sharia. So I must ask myself, in my house, how much Sharia am I establishing? In my business, how much Sharia am I establishing? I am the governor of my own house, of my own business, of my own family. Right? But you, if you have to go and take a census in all the Muslim homes of South Africa, how many homes will be having TVs in the home? How many homes are sitting on table and chair and eating? How many homes the weddings they're having is totally like kuffar style, Christian style? So we're not establishing Sharia either. So now when you have looting, now when you have kidnappings, right? Now a businessman gets kidnapped. Not in all cases, right? Some are pious people also, but a person gets kidnapped. Now everybody is saying, hey, they're kidnapping the Muslims, Allah Pak. But now, that Muslim, when he was running his shop, was he missing namazes? Was he paying his zakat properly? Is he making zulam on his staff? Is he involved in interest dealings? So now, if it is all that, then this can be hiding from Allah Pak too. Can be a hiding from Allah Pak also. That look, wake up, come right. Allah's hiding also is out of mercy. So, we don't know the system of Allah Ta'ala. But then we sit back and say, no, why the help is not coming? Why the help is not coming? Are we doing the things that will attract the help? That's what we need to ask ourselves. If I go by the tap, right, now put my cup under, I say, well, why the water is not coming? The water is not coming in this place. Somebody goes past, I'm complaining, if I make dua, man, water must come out from here. I'm standing so long, 1 hour gone, my cup, I can't get even one drop of water. I'm complaining, I'm telling everybody to make dua. Right? Then, somebody goes past, say, but what's the matter? They say, no, I want water. Say, well, open the tap then. Open the tap. Turn the knob, then you'll get the water. You know, that I don't want. That I don't want. I just want the water must come out. But the little bit effort that you have to make to turn the tap open, that you don't want. So whose fault is it then? Now you can stand there all day, all night, you're not going to get no water. So like that, Allah Pak has given us all the things that we need to do to open the tap of Allah's mercy, open the tap of Allah's help, open the tap of Allah's guidance, open the tap of Allah's protection. But now we don't open the tap, but then we're complaining. Hey, the Muslims now, Shia, they're troubling Islamophobes, and they're doing this, and they're doing that. But Allah Pak is saying, open the tap. They say, no, that we don't want. We don't open the tap. So it's our own fault. We as mu'mineen, it's our own fault. So all praise is for Allah. This is Umar Rilan's khutbah. Say, all praise is for Allah, the one who fulfilled His promise and helped His mujahideen. Allah, the Almighty, destroyed the kingdom of the fire worshippers and dissolved their unity. Now, they don't possess an inch of land with which to harm the Muslims. A superpower. Now they got nothing. Crushed. Crushed. Beware. Now see what Umar radiallahu anhu is saying. Beware. Allah Ta'ala has made you inherit their land. That these Persians now, all their lands now belong to you. You have inherited their homes. You have inherited their wealth. And you have inherited their sons. Meaning their sons are your slaves now. Right? But why? Allah Pak wants to see how you perform now. When they were the superpower, they went and worshipped the fire. When they were the superpower, they were indulging. So Allah took it away from them. Now Allah gave it to you. Now Allah Ta'ala is going to see how you perform now. So be fearful of Him. Fear Allah Ta'ala when you carry out His orders. And then Allah Ta'ala will fulfill His promise with you. Simple. We have to do what Allah has commanded us to do. We have to have taqwa, right? Live our life as believers, propagate the deen. Allah's help will be with us. Allah's help will be with us. Do not change what Umar radiallahu anhu is saying. Do not change and become disobedient people. That now you got the upper hand, now you got the wealth, you got the lands, you got the palaces. So now you think I'm untouchable. Now you turn into a disobedient person. Just now when the bombing was happening, everybody is hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, hasbunallahu. Now when everything finished, then what do appear, what do appear? How to make money, how to make money. Whether we're breaking the law of Allah, whether we're upholding the law, not worried about anything. So that shouldn't be our condition. So do not change into disobedient people, or else Allah Ta'ala will replace you with another nation. Since I don't fear that this nation will be punished except due to your own deeds. Allah Ta'ala, why must Allah Ta'ala punish people? It is our own deeds that bring about punishment. Then there are many smaller conquests that took place, right? Like the conquest of Istakhr, 23 Hijri, right? The inhabitants, they broke the peace treaty with the Muslims, right? So the army went now and conquered them. Then you had the conquest of Fasa and Darabgird, also 23 Hijri. Then the conquest of Kirman and Sijistan, also 23 Hijri, right? So all of these were smaller battles that took place. Conquest of Makran, and then the war with the Kurds. Now the Kurds, till today, they are a problem. The Kurdish people, you know? So Ibn Jarir Tabri, rahimahullah, narrated that a group of Kurds were joined by another group of Persians and they prepared for war. They thought they'd fight. Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu faced off with them in a place called Beiruz near the Tehri River. Then Abu Musa radiallahu anhu headed towards Isfahan, appointing Rabi' bin Ziyad as the commander against the rebellious Kurds. Rabi' had already lost his brother Muhajir in the same battle. He fought valiantly and finally defeated the enemy. As usual, the news of the victory and 1/5 of the booty was sent to Medina Munawwara. So this is how the conquest of Iran, Iraq, and the rest of the Persian Empire reached its logical end during the reign of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. The Muslims established various garrisons in many places in these lands because they feared that these Persians would rebel. The Muslims made great sacrifices for the quick invasions of the East due to being ethnically different from the Persians. The natives of Iran were not related to the Arabs by ethnicity, nor by culture, nor by language. Nationalistic feelings were deeply rooted in the Iranian culture and history. The wars occurred in the heart of the Iranian homeland, and the enemy shared the Zoroastrian faith, which proved to be a driving force for their resistance. In contrast, the Muslim army was fighting far away from its headquarters in Basra and Kufa. Secondly, mountain people are natural warriors, right? And freedom loving by their nature. Mountain people, naturally they are warriors and they live a free life, you know. This is why most of these places rebelled. But they had to be reconquered during the reign of Umar radiallahu anhu or Uthman radiallahu anhu. So that was the hikmat and the wisdom of having those garrisons. At any time, a rebellion, you know, they started to prepare to rebel, immediately it could be put off, the fire could be put off. So sometimes you think that these Sahaba radiallahu anhu, what effort they made, right, to conquer these lands. And Allah helped them, they conquered Iraq, Iran, all the whole area. And today we Muslims, what we did to it. Instead of establishing madaris, makatib, we were to establish universities for girls, discos, nightclubs, brothels. Kufar never do it, we did it. Hotels with all the gunas taking place. You know, one time, I was much younger, so I was traveling. I think Allah Ta'ala was taking us for Umrah, and we were traveling via Abu Zabi. You know, Abu Zabi, people call it Abu Dhabi. Okay. So we were traveling through there, and there was a problem with the flight. So we had to spend the night, right? Because now there was a problem with the aeroplane and it couldn't put us on another flight. So they said that they'll put us up for the night, and the next day they'll put us on the flight. So they sent us to a hotel. Right? Now imagine, this is supposed to be a Muslim country, right? It's run by Muslims. There's majority Muslim people living there. So they sent us to this hotel. So they gave us a voucher for the hotel for meals. Supper, you get to sleep the night, and next morning breakfast. And then the bus will come pick us up and take us back to the airport. So now you're hungry also, I mean, you're traveling so long, you came here, you waited so long in the airport, then eventually they say, no, they'll put us up for the night. Now they brought us here to this hotel. Now you don't have your luggage. You only got your hand luggage, right? You know, no bags. So they came here to this hotel, now they say, no, the dining hall is here, or whatever. We just entered that hotel. We still waiting for them to give us keys for our room. There is another door on the other side. There are ladies coming out of that place, inviting people to come in, dressed like their parents got no money to buy clothes for them. Right? And you can hear the music coming from inside there. So like a jazz bar or something, you know, carrying on there. So anyway, we got our keys, and then they told us, right, the dining hall for meals is on certain floor. So there you have your meals there, and you can come back there for breakfast also, and that's your room. So we went to the room. So I'm telling the family, I said, you know, we're hungry also. Let's go and see what we can get to eat there, you know. So go down there. That dining hall, they got a bar. They're serving alcohol. Right? And they got music playing there. And we say, we on our way for Umrah now. How can you eat here? They got alcohol they're serving here. How can you sit and eat here? And this is supposed to be a Muslim country. So we said, hey, let's just go to the room. You know, in the room sometimes they have one kettle there with some tea, and we said, we'll just make a cup of tea there. We had some patkos we carried. We said, we'd rather eat this. Next morning also we said, we're not going down there for breakfast and all that. We just sit here in the room till the bus comes, and then go jump in the bus and get back to the airport. But you see, this is what I'm saying, is that we're saying Muslim country. But is it a Muslim country? A Muslim country is a place where the Sharia is upheld. That is a Muslim country. Even Saudi Arabia is not a Muslim country. Because even in Saudi Arabia, they are not upholding the law of Sharia. They don't follow the law of Sharia. They got man-made laws. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah give us understanding. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.